Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 25 more minutes here on this live program. I'm Tim with Fred. Now, Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve
Paisley. Hey.
Steve Paisley Jordahl joins
yes,
us. What are you donning over there today?
It's a new shirt. It's it's pink, so I'm brave.
Yeah.
And
what's the spots on it?
I don't know. It might be little flowers and bees, but I can't tell. I'm blind. So
okay. But you bought it.
I did buy it. Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't steal it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you bought a shirt. You didn't know what the design was.
No,
I saw
it.
It just looks cool from a distance.
I saw the design up close. I still don't know what it means.
Right. Fred, go ahead, Ray.
Ask me about my shirt.
Hey, yeah. Ray. Nice shirt there.
Hey, Steve. Look.
Tell me about
brand
your shirt.
I will mention it because you know what this is? I haven't even said this word. Seersucker. Remember
Seersucker.
That?
Yeah.
Seersucker.
I remember the suits. Seersucker suits.
Tim, you know what we're talking about? I don't know if I can explain it, but it's a different kind of fabric.
I remember that. I'm 60 years old, so we're talking 70s, right?
I know. This is my throwback.
A seersucker.
what was it? 60s and the 50s.
Is seersucker a material or a design?
Now that I brought something up, Steve, help me out.
Fred?
It's a material.
Look it up.
I think it's a material.
Is it a material or
is it
a design?
Yeah, it's not a design. It's just a certain type
of
material.
Like polyester.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Discussing Fashion on AFR.
Well, I have to know the answer to this question. Is it a
seersucker? I don't know, but that's
I'm gonna look it up. Sears. Pardon me, people, while I Google here.
Hey, while you're doing that, we have some business to take care of, Ray.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I got back from Miami from Orlando yesterday.
Yes.
You were going to ask me a question when I got back. Mm-hmm. I went through this presentation about the timeshare.
Oh yeah. So how did it go with the timeshare?
I am not an owner of a timeshare.
Okay.
We said no. We said no. They threw three people at us.
Oh,
in a row.
But does that explain the black and blue bruises you have all over your body?
Just a little bit.
They beat you, and you still didn't give in.
The next thing, I was firm.
Did they high pressure you much? Do you feel
well? So everybody there is. They come across and they're very kind. They're nice people. They're your friend. They want to be what's best for you. So it's not like I've been high pressured like in an auto dealer before
where
they just get kind of rude, right? And they were never like that. But when the lady offered me, she showed me three different options and she kept like decreasing the amount of money it would cost me. I'm not sure. And then we said no. I mean, we just went through a tornado, and we're still dealing with how to fix everything up from that. And
you tried to get the sympathy card.
I did. Yeah. They weren't buying much of it, so she left, and then the general manager came in, and he sat down and said, well, let me see. This is what we can do. If it's no, it's no. Well, it's no. Okay. We're going to have one of our corporate people come by. He's going to do a survey with you to tell you how you were treated.
We're trying to break you there, Steve.
We wanted to know if we did a good job. Just all he's going to ask you three simple questions of how you were treated. He sits down and says, they can't offer you this deal, but I can.
And this was never talked about in staff meetings, was it?
Wow.
So you went through the juggernaut there.
We did. Well,
now, why did you do this to yourself?
Because it got us 4 days at a grand brand name hotel. I don't know if I should name it. Condominium.
Was,
I mean, it's a very nice place. And
where the accommodations were.
Very nice. I mean,
very nice.
Very nice.
So you traded four free nights for this badgering.
Yeah. Okay. Give me an hour and a half of your time. And by the way, we drove ourselves there, Tim, so no worries about having to get an Uber back or anything like that.
Would you do it again?
Yeah. I can say no.
Yeah, but what about Heather? How did she hold up?
Oh, she's worse. She's better at no than I am.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. You don't mess with Heather.
So you got.
She says no. She says it once, and you might as well move on.
That's right. We're done here. That's
right.
Okay.
So, seersucker?
Yeah. Oh, seersucker. Yeah. Seersucker is a railroad stripe. Seersucker or railroad stripe is a thin, puckered, usually cotton fabric.
There you go.
I can feel the puckers all over my mouth.
I
can feel all over
my shirt. I think I'm just going to leave that go.
It's commonly, but not necessarily, striped or checkered, used to make clothing for hot weather. So,
now, how does that compare with gingham?
Gingham?
I think he was a ruler of China.
I think so. Gingham Khan. Right.
Gingham Khan, that's right. Very early fashion designer.
Gentle ladies and pretty faces.
Yeah. Genghis Khan was a fashion trendsetter in
very early
ancient China. Okay, before we move on, I think I mentioned this yesterday, but we're starting to take registrations now for our 2024 Holy Land tour. That Allison, my wife, and I, with our sons Wesley and Walker, we lead that, and we're going in March of next year, and. Oh, the dates, the prices, the itinerary, everything's been set. And yes, it is expensive. I'm just going to tell you. It's getting more expensive every year to travel, but that's all over the world. But anyway, if you want to check that out, that tour out, I think I announced it 2 days ago. I think we had 10 people sign up already. So, I mean, we're probably going to be full by July or August, September at the latest. So if that's something you want to do, if that's on your bucket list, a trip to Israel, the land of the Bible, and, you know, there are a lot of people you can go with. We're not the only tour out there, obviously, but if you do want to check ours out, go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. That's got everything you need to know. And if you still got a question after reading the whole thing, then email us. We'll talk to you. By the way, there are no COVID shots required. There's no shots of any kind required to go to Israel. And so that's good news. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Well, while the Durham report seems to be sucking all the oxygen out of the room, there's another big story that broke yesterday or today that the mainstream media is also not going to be reporting on. And this is that the IRS has repurposed or disbanded the team that was investigating Hunter Biden. They didn't fire anybody, the team, but they're no longer investigating Hunter Biden and his IRS dealings. This, of course, the IRS has to do with finances, and finances are at the core of the Hunter Biden scandal. How is he getting money? Is he selling influence? Where's the money coming from?
Well, mostly it's back when his dad was VP.
Yes, right? It was, but they're now investing. There was a whistleblower that came forward and said, "I've got the goods."
Right,
and people are reporting that this is in retaliation to the whistleblower, but I think that's burying the lead because they have just disbanded the Hunter Biden investigation. I bet they got a little too close for comfort, and they can blame it on whistleblower retaliation. But I think this is big. Fred, you agree?
Oh, no question about it. But, you know, it goes back to what we discussed in the last hour. Unfortunately, deep state runs deep, and we talked about the Justice Department and now the IRS. The IRS, which just got, what, $86 million to hire a bunch of new agents?
A ton of agents in the next 10 years.
You know, I see the 2010 kind of IRS going after Tea Party people all over again.
Lois Lerner?
Lois Lerner, yes, who pled the fifth. When she was brought before Congress, she targeted conservative groups.
Yeah. She was over the IRS at the time, right?
Yeah.
Or at least over that division.
Yep.
They found this out a couple, in addition to what you're saying, last week we found out that the IRS has spent $10 million on weaponry, guns, and gear.
Yeah.
They're not only hiring new agents, they're arming themselves.
What in the world would they need weapons for?
They have had enforcers for decades. I mean, this isn't the first. They're not just putting an army together for the first time, but they are bolstering it. This is because the IRS is a law enforcement agency, basically, and of so way to speak. So they have Criminal Investigation Services, and they use guns and ammo for that. But they've really upped it. $10 million.
So, Steve, the implication of the Hunter Biden thing is that the deep state takes care of its own, and they were getting too close for comfort, so call off the dogs. We're not going to look any further.
It seems like that to me. I was just got off the phone before I got on the air here with Gary Bauer, and we talked about this, and he says they have just, what do you say, who's the congressman that's Grassley, Chuck Grassley.
Uh-huh.
He is the one that is very, very strong on whistleblowing. He yes. really wants to protect whistleblowers. And to quote, this is Gary's quote. He says, they have just turned Chuck Grassley into a junkyard dog.
Uh-huh.
And James Comer is probably also going to be on the warpath because of this. This is about to get heated, I think, in Congress when they do this.
Senator Grassley's from Iowa, right?
Yes.
What age is he?
80s.
Yeah, he's older. But he's still got some... still got some intensity left.
Yes, he does.
We got a lot of senators that are 80 plus, don't we?
Getting up there. Yeah.
How long do you need to be senator where you can just say, hey, I need to.
He is 89.
I guess you get used to being, as Ed says, you get the best seating at restaurants. Mr. Senator.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa. I think he's a fine man and has done a. Mm-hmm. Done a great job in the Senate. I'm just saying, a lot of these senators, both Republican and Democrats, they don't know when to give it up. They just keep on running till they die. Huh?
You know, as long
was it Strom Thurmond who was the oldest person ever, oldest senator ever?
Yeah.
He was way up there. He was in his 90s, right?
Yeah. I'm just looking up the Congress by age. That's average.
Would you want to be a senator when you're 89 years old or 87 years old?
I suppose if you're enjoying doing the job and you're being effective, Dianne Feinstein?
Feinstein.
Yeah, but she's not effective.
No. But
Grassley is. Grassley is. He stays busy.
Yeah.
She's the oldest. So who are the oldest senators? Ah, Chuck Grassley is the oldest at 89. Dianne Feinstein is 89, but... a younger 89. Mitch McConnell is 81. Bernie Sanders is 81. Ben Cardin of Maryland, Democrat, is 79. And Jim Risch, Republican from Idaho, is 79.
Yeah, well.
John Ossoff, 36, is the youngest
he's
senator.
He's Georgia.
Georgia.
Marxist.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't know. I haven't kept up with him. Maybe that's an unfair. But I know he has very socialistic politics.
Yes.
Talking about what's his name from Georgia,
36. John Ossoff.
So he brings the median age down. Take him out of the equation. I think the median age is probably 75.
The youngest 70. Representatives. Senators. Youngest senators. John Ossoff is 36. Yeah. J.D. Vance is 38.
Okay.
Katie Britt is 41. Josh Hawley is 43, and Mark Wayne Mullen is 45, and they're all Republicans. Oh, sorry, Ossoff is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
In the House, the youngest is Representative Maxwell Frost from Florida, Democrat, 26 years old. Then AOC, then Anna Luna, Greg Caesar, and Sarah Jacobs, people we haven't heard of, that I haven't heard of.
What about Greg Caesar's ghost?
Old.
Did you say Greg Caesar?
Yes, Greg Kasser. I'm sorry, K-C-A-S-A-R.
All right.
Gregorio Kasser.
All right. All right. Next story.
All right. Ron, I told you I just spent some time in Florida, and it's nice to smell the free air. Not that it's bad here in Mississippi either, but Ron DeSantis just signed a bill that ends any money going to a college, a state money that go into a college that has any kind of a DEI program. DEI stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Any of the woke stuff going on at these colleges, they're out of money.
The legislature passed that, and we mentioned that briefly last hour, and then Governor DeSantis signed it.
Did you already talk about this? I'm sorry.
Well, we did a little bit, but that's a big deal
because that's
a direct hit on the woke battleship. I could use a naval expression.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor DeSantis, I wouldn't say that's risky in the sense that it's the right thing to do, but he will be unmercifully attacked by the left and the media on that right there, because what they're going to say is, and I saw it last night, they're going to say he's against diversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
As in what he only favors, I don't know, white males or something. So everybody else he's against because the word diversity is in there, which is completely and totally an untrue criticism. But that's the way the left is going to frame it. He's a white supremacist, basically.
That's what they're saying.
But he's used to the attacks. When he brought in the Parental Protection Act, which the left called Don't Say Gay Act, to protect kids from being exposed to pro-homosexual teaching in the schools.
The one Disney went after him on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The left went ballistic over that, and they still are. They refuse to call it by its real name, the potential or Parental Protection Act, I think it's called. And they still call it
Don't Say Gay.
Don't Say Gay.
Right.
They'll give us that. But he has taken flack, continues to take flack over that. The mainstream media is siding with Disney, who is taking the governor to court on this.
You know, what happened on that deal was Governor DeSantis and the state legislature said, you're not going to talk, in Florida, we're not going to talk about sexual matters with, at that time, third grade and under. It later moved to the whole 12th grade and under.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. That's not the job of the school. School is to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, not sexual orientation or transgendered stuff. Well, the media mislabeled that, the Don't Say Gay bill.
Yeah.
And they tried to crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
On that one, but I tell you what Governor DeSantis is good at. Now, there's only one Donald Trump. When it comes, Donald Trump is an entertainer. He's not only an entertainer, he's a very successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a TV personality with a number one show for 10 years. Now, he doesn't talk about himself much, so you would... What?
You would never know these things
if I didn't tell you, but and he loves this country.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump does. He has a lot of attributes, but what Governor DeSantis can do, as good as anyone I've seen recently, is now he's not Trump says DeSantis needs a personality transplant. That's kind of bizarre. But anyway, what DeSantis can do very well is he can explain things. And he can, in a way that people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And also he pushes back on the liberal critics and liberal media very well. As I say, he's not as flamboyant as, say, Trump, for example. But he is a good person at explaining himself and explaining the legislation and explaining why he did what he did. Does that make sense, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's bold. He's the leader in this anti-woke movement in America, which a lot of people, not just conservatives, a lot of people really concerned about CRT, the woke stuff, what's happening in the universities. This is a winning thing. Can he beat Trump? I was thinking, Tim, while you were talking, that CNN town hall with Donald Trump, that reminds people of what he's like when you put him on a stage. He is he's really good at what he does. I think Ron DeSantis is far better in terms of understanding the conservative message and conservative ideology. I think we're about
and being able to articulate it.
And being able to articulate. He's the only one who can beat Donald Trump on the Republican side, right? Nobody else has a chance.
Yeah, and of course that first primary won't be till January or February?
Late January or February.
Iowa caucus in New Hampshire, then South Carolina.
Correct.
Unless
you're a Democrat, they're going to go to South Carolina first.
Is that right?
Well, but DeSantis is going to win Iowa. I think he will win Iowa. I think he's got a good chance in New Hampshire. He may be 2-0 going into South Carolina, which would make that a real Donnybrook.
Donnybrook, I like that. Donnie.
Yeah. I don't even know where that comes from, but yeah.
Well, you know, Ed and I were talking about this the other day. We're 8 months. Are we not? Listen, before the first primary.
Yes.
For Iowa. We're June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Right? Uh-huh. In January. Right. We're 8 months away. We got to go through the whole football season.
Yeah. Right.
All right. We're right. not even when that's over, we're not to the Iowa caucus yet. So we're a long way away. I will say this, DeSantis was surging back in January and February, coming off his big win in Florida, where he just had record breaking numbers of support for him in his gubernatorial race.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trump started to come back.
Right.
I'm talking about the polls.
Yeah.
And
sure.
The polls are for what it's worth department, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask yourself, who's doing the polls? Who are they polling? Is it a survey of 27 people?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it legit? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you got to look at the reputation of the polling services. But then Trump started to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's surged ahead now in most of the polls. Ahead of DeSantis, and then the others are not even polling right now above 10. I'm talking about the other candidates on the Republican
Larry Elder
side.
And
But now DeSantis has not announced yet.
No.
Officially. So as Steve said earlier, he'll probably get a bounce in the polls out of his announcement.
Yes.
But anyway, it'll be interesting to see as we go forward through the fall, and what it will look like
uh-huh.
in terms of the race. My guess is it's going to end up being a neck and neck competition. You wouldn't believe that today if you looked at the polls. You would say Trump would win handily, but I just think that it's going to as you have the debates in the fall and. As much money as DeSantis has been able to raise. There's in the Republican Party, and I'm making a generalization here, there is probably 40% maybe who are what I would call loyalists to President Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 50% of the Republican voters who are they want other options.
Uh-huh.
They don't have anything necessarily against President Trump, but they want to look. They want to hear what the other candidates have to say, and how viable they are.
Yep.
So there's a lot of shopping around uh-huh. in that respect. But President Trump has a built-in advantage because he has, I don't know what you would say, 30-40% of the Republican Party that are going to be with him no matter what. Would you say that's fair, Fred?
Yeah, I think that is, yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge is on the other people
uh-huh.
to break through.
Uh-huh.
DeSantis seems like the only one right now with that possibility.
Yeah.
But even he's got a big uphill climb
uh-huh.
because the popularity of President Trump inside the Republican Party, and every time Trump gets in the news, good or bad,
mm-hmm.
he gets a bump.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a bump in the polls.
Yep.
All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
I don't want to do this for 8 months. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday. He's a big Trump guy, and I love what President Trump did as president, but I'm saying, hey, should we look somewhere else? Can he win?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going like, you know what? We're gonna have some bad Thanksgiving dinners in conservative homes if it's DeSantis and Trump in November.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.